Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Oh, I'm feeling a little crowded.
I'm doing great.
I got one question only. How you doing?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Welcome back to the final hour. On a Wednesday morning, I'm Andrew Bogish. Pete the Body Bilotti was here, but he just fell out of his chair laughing at what I'm not sure. Ryan Botcha remains professional. Pat Boyle does not, because I just actually got a full glimpse of his half-unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt. And there's a lot of Boyle out for the world to see this morning. I watched DA.com, YouTube, Twitch. I don't know if I should apologize or say you're welcome. It's probably a 50-50 split, but you're welcome for Boyle being in all his Boyle glory on this Wednesday morning. As we continue a different cast of characters every day this week, with DA filling in for Jim Rome through tomorrow. DA is back in the main chair. The namesake returns on Monday. And by then, we will continue to be breaking down the new college football season. And I'm sure, as he usually does, if you've missed DA's take on this week's stories, you'll get a quick recap of all those things on Monday as well. DA is very good about catching you up on where he is so you guys can get back in sync and then move forward. That's coming up on Monday. Why are you laughing, Boyle?
I love the tinge of tone in that voice.
So, I mean, it is, we have not done, I don't want to say it out loud because I don't necessarily want it to come back, but we have not done the airing of grievances in a long time. It's been a couple of years. If we had to do it, I would gently point out that when DA does come back from anything, break, a full week, one day, paternity leave, that first show back, it's as if the rest of us weren't here the week before. And he did it just the other day. I'm trying to remember the specific stories, but I walked in a studio and I said to the guys, I'm like, it's like we weren't here. Like, he didn't even reference the fact that we had done any of these things. I think it might have been like Otani wasn't traded. It was like a bunch of stuff that was 72, 96 hours old. And it was as it was all new and that we hadn't had guests on about it. So I would probably mention that if I was going to air a grievance or two. But thankfully, we don't do that anymore because I don't want to hear bad things.
Yeah, but I totally understand why he's doing it, because I think, obviously, a lot of people that listen to the show want to hear DA's opinions.
Right.
So even if it is a couple days old, you know, you can kind of refreshen it,
I think,
to a certain degree.
Yes, I think my grievance would be the way it's presented.
Okay, as if you mean nothing.
As if the shows hadn't happened without him. It wasn't ever prefaced as, I know I wasn't here, I know the guys had on Ted Johnson to discuss it, I know it's a couple of days old. He just does it like it hadn't been done before. It always catches my ear.
So you don't want to be made out to feel as if you're nothing.
Which is 100% or 99% of me being oversensitive, but I also know that Sean noticed it too.
Okay, yeah.
Not necessarily in a bad way, but it was always a chuckle, like, yeah, we did that last Wednesday, when he'd come back on Monday and just fire away on that big
just a
take.
Reset of the topics.
Right. Yeah.
You don't
saying here's what I missed. It was just,
you don't want to feel like you're nothing.
Yeah, we did some hard work, some heavy lifting. That's
you're
all
getting rewarded for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Understood.
In what way? Not by Wendy's breakfast today.
That's right.
He had the fries.
This is not a knock at you.
Oh.
Just the we were in a nice little cycle for a while. They were ripped open bag of Wendy's, pick this, pick that. And we were going well for a while. Now it seems like there's less options and there's less sharing going on.
Oh, you guys were getting full go at Wendy's every Wednesday for the most part?
July was very good to us on the Wendy's front. August has not been. They were French toast sticks. There were multiple breakfast sandwiches. There were some weird healthy oatmeal bars, breakfast potatoes. It was a free-for-all. And now there's like two things. And if you're not in the newsroom at the right nanosecond, you don't get
anything.
You
guys need more friends down the hall.
It feels like that's the case.
It's another more friends.
Period, right? In any location?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you'd be I got enough friends kind of guy.
Pete wants more
after
friends.
After a while, you have to kind of cut it off because you don't have much time.
Right. Is that another thing we should interview people for to be your new friend?
That's the first question that's asked. Can you be my friend?
Because that's not weird.
Yeah.
You know, I keep trying to get info out of you from these job interviews. We should probably go to the people who interviewed to get the inside scoop on you in these meetings. So the few things I've heard are...
Go ahead.
You know, stone face, can't read him, he might hate me, he might love me, he gave me nothing. But we need more dirt.
We don't need any dirt. We need to pick the producer, and that's it.
You're wrong. Once you pick the producer, then the dirt begins to get dug up.
On what?
The whole process.
The process is it's like any job in any company.
No, I need more stories. Things were said, maybe spreadsheets were shared, binders handed out, tuxedos worn, weird questions asked.
Thing. With the one of the candidates having the tuxedo.
Well, we didn't share it. He walked through the room like that. He shared it. He didn't tell us a secret. I'll see what I can do again. The PGP, side A and side B, will debut sometime later today. Later this hour, we'll talk baseball with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Oh, by the way, we still haven't picked the poll question today, so it might end up just being what should today's poll question be as the poll question. Because we're throwing things up there, and they just keep getting shot down. I mean, I
got it. Who's today's MVP of the show?
Yeah?
Yeah. Who's today's MVP of the show? Bogus, Boyle, Botcher, or myself?
Are you hoping that you win that somehow?
No, I'm hoping I lose.
Well, you left out Cap.
And Cap.
Cap,
can't have five choices.
Well, no. No. The award should be named after Cap.
No, don't walk it back now.
Now you're Kaplan. Naming the MVP of the show after him?
I don't think we can put five people on the poll.
We also know how you feel about Cap sitting in that room down the hall, having no negative. There's no punishment. There's no downfall for Cap. He just sits back there, makes funny graphics, and bothers Boyle during his updates.
Well, he's not sitting back there today. Don't want to reveal
all
the secrets.
It's a home show for Kaplan? And he's still taking swings at Boyle's pronunciations during updates? Wow. Okay, Cap.
Look out.
Okay, Cap.
Cap's like catching a stray, I think, for the first time ever, at least that I've heard.
I think it should be called the Andrew Kaplan MVP.
So other than Kaplan, who's the MVP of the show today?
Of the show today.
That's going up right now. I hear Botcher typing at CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. So again... It is not surprising, it is not startling that NFL teams are worth ridiculous amounts of money. But we got a new batch of numbers yesterday through Sportico, the website, about exactly how much all of these teams are worth and how much money they bring in. And it is just ridiculous. And I was already going to mention the fact that I think 6 million of you knuckleheads watched the Jets and Browns in the Hall of Fame game last week, a game that it didn't have any actual starters basically in it. No Aaron Rodgers, no Deshaun Watson, and still 6 million of you watched on a summer Thursday night. The NFL always wins.
PB boys hit the over.
Of course they did. The latest numbers, again, from Sportico, it's ridiculous. The average value of an NFL franchise right now is roughly $5 billion. With the Cowboys leading the way at $9.2 billion. We began with the Commanders and Eric Bieniemy, and I told you they would come back into the show. They come back to remind you that they just sold for a record $6.05 billion, breaking the record by $1.5 billion that what's-his-name Walton and the Walmart clan paid for the Broncos just a year ago. And the Commanders, again, fetched $6 billion, even though they're the Commanders, the worst attendance in the NFL, a terrible stadium, angry fans, a terrible previous owner, a super tarnished reputation for all the things connected to Dan Snyder, the name of the team, his behavior, terrible workplace environment, all of those things, and they still sold for a record $6.05 billion. And apparently in his prospectus for minor investors, Josh Harris predicting, and probably rightfully so, that worst case scenario 10 years from now, the team is valued at $15.5 billion and maybe as high as 20. So maybe three times what he paid in just a decade. It's why more owners aren't selling. Even though they could get billions and billions and billions of dollars, the market, the bubble's not popping anytime soon. It's just going to keep going up and 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 adding more billions and more, you know, more columns, more zeros to their value. It's a machine that literally can't be slowed down. By definition, by structure, it can't. NFL teams, because they get like $10 billion annually from all their TV deals, their share of the TV money is going to be more than they need to operate as a team for that year. So they can't lose money. Teams all across the globe otherwise routinely lose money. Sometimes like MLS, which we discussed last night with Richard Deitch, they all lose money. They operate at a loss. NFL teams can't lose money because of their media rights deal and because the CBA connects salary cap to revenues. So revenues always go up more than the salary cap. So they're always getting, or if revenues go down, the cap goes down. So there's always more money coming in than going out. We should all be lucky enough to be able to buy an NFL team because they are ridiculous investments and they're only going to get more value. The thing to take, though, away from all of this is don't ever say yes again to an NFL owner asking the rest of us for money when it comes to facilities, stadiums, infrastructures. We're going to pay our money to go to games. We're going to pay our money for league pass, whatever. Why can't a Sunday ticket on YouTube TV, wherever it lives going forward, you may pay extra for Red Zone on your cable package. You're going to pay money to watch the NFL. But when it comes to public money, tax money, bonds, whatever, we must stop giving these people our money. They don't need it. It's okay if they make slightly less money than they were planning to for a little bit because they just built a new ridiculous stadium. Otherwise, we got to stop. We got to stop giving them money because they don't deserve it. They don't need it. It's all a scam. The whole thing's a scam, but let's at least address this particular part of the scam because it applies to all of us, whether you just got a stadium or one's in construction or one's coming soon. We're all going to live this. So if you can vote on it, either directly or by the people who will then take that elected office and vote on these things, this is a thing that has to stop. These guys, men and women, family, companies, whatever, they don't need any more of our cash because they all have it by tens, dozens, 20s, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. They can build their own stadiums and highways and train infrastructure and whatnot. They don't need any more of our cash because they are basically swimming in all of it like Scrooge McDuck, all of them. Now, there is a gap from the Cowboys, I think, pulling in revenue over $400 million last year. And then there are teams like the Packers and Lions, I believe, at the bottom of that list that only had like $70 million revenue. But that's still, that's revenue. Like, that's on top of everything else, that's profit, I guess. They're clearing that kind of money, which is a ridiculous sum that is matched by very few other organizations, and yet that's the bottom of the NFL rung. They are filthy, obscenely rich, the teams, and valuable, so let's please stop giving them any more of our public money. Meanwhile, I need to understand what Bilotti just keeps laughing at, because it's not me, but he's back there being all sorts of giddy. And I'm kind of jealous that I don't know what's going on. And I feel like a teacher now being like, what are you guys laughing at in the back of the room?
No, that DA and CBS quotes, I just love their content.
Okay.
That's it. I'm very happy today.
Early toast for DA show quotes?
Yeah, I'm just very happy today.
What are they pumping out?
No, just their usual stuff. I'm very appreciative of what they're doing.
Well, I'm glad that's more entertaining than the radio show going on in front of
you. Well, you're entertained. You're always entertaining.
I'm not that insulted by this.
You're always entertaining.
Yeah. I think it's probably the last one. That's the first question that is asked in the interview. Can you be my friend?
Right. 50 interviews, and that's the first question.
Yeah. Well, the good news for Pete continues. He's got great content in front of him today, and he has at least a vote from Andrew Kaplan from the back room on his home property.
All right.
Cap's voting for you in the question that you created. Other than Cap, who's the MVP of the show today?
The Andrew Kaplan Most Valuable Player Award.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, guess what? That might be the only vote Pete's got, because the early returns are really favorable for the dude with half a shirt on.
Who's that?
You, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I'm leading?
The rest of us have full shirts on. You're the one with half your bosom out.
Bosom?
Yeah.
I'll lose votes if I take off my shirt.
How do I unvote?
Pete, I feel like you would look good if you dressed up as Vader.
Vader? Like Darth Vader?
No. The old school WWF wrestler that had the hockey mask and he had, you know, the two-strap.
Yeah, fun fact about him.
Listening.
He never washed his gear.
Oh, hey!
they had to yell at him to wash his gear.
Shouldn't somebody be washing their gear in WWE?
You can't really put it in the washing machine,
right?
Most gear. You have to soak it. Okay. In like a sink, you know, or bathtub.
Hand wash it. Take it to the river. It.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he must have stunk.
He never washed his gear, and they had to yell at him for it.
Imagine if he put you in a power bomb and you just head between those legs.
Oh.
Who is this again?
This is Vader, the late, great Big Van Vader.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah.
At least we didn't kill him on the show.
Right.
No.
So he can't win a Super Bowl either.
Well, according to some hosts, yes.
That was great.
Take him off the list then. All right, let's reset. We'll get some headlines. We've got a baseball conversation. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, is on the show, which is the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Excuse me.
Of what we're doing.
In that moment. Sorry about that.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, great. That sounded beautiful. Welcome back to the DA show on this Wednesday morning. It's me, Andrew Bogish, alongside Pete Botcher, a Boyle with half a shirt on, and you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish. Thanks again to Richard Deitch of The Athletic for joining us last hour. We're back on the guest line in just a second, talking baseball with USA Today's Bob Nightingale. For those of you keeping track of such things, tomorrow, when DA again fills in for Jim Rome, you've got me, Pete, and Botch again. But now we've got Peter Schwartz back on updates.
Oh, really?
And I believe we've got Schwartz again on Friday.
Oh, is that so?
I think that's a late change. So with DA off on Friday altogether, you get that foursome for the next 2 days. So plan accordingly. A lot of Pete's, a little bit of a Schwartz, a young Ryan Botcher. It's a big finish to the last two shows of the week. Right now, very quickly, I'll save the bigger segment for tomorrow. And we can have the official response to Hard Knocks Episode 1 from the resident Jet fan, Pete Pilotti. But I watched it this morning on my way to the studios. I liked it a lot. I told you from the beginning I was all in on this. This was the choice of the four teams that could be compelled to do it. This is the one I wanted to see. Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh, Sauce Gardner. I mentioned this last Friday morning. Zach Wilson's an important storyline to me for the Jets. He may need to play games this year. He may become a tradable asset for them. They need a Zach Wilson answer. So the Hall of Fame game was something, some Hard Knocks cameras or something, watching Rodgers tutor Zach Wilson in the back half of the episode last night seemed important. I think if you haven't watched it yet, Rodgers is a 50-50 proposition. You're either going to think he's a phony and it's all nonsense and it's all BS and it's all him playing a part, or you're going to think he's super cool. They're all on board. They're all behind him from a personality standpoint. From a football standpoint, the dude's slinging it all over New Jersey, and the Jets seem to love it. Garrett Wilson's a tremendous young wide receiver that's only going to benefit from the throws that Rodgers can make for him. And the early star of this episode is Jeff Albright. I don't know if I'm saying his last name correctly.
Albright.
He's their defensive coordinator, and he is fantastic in the meetings that they're showing you on Hard Knocks. So I think Pete's going to like it.
I'm looking forward to it.
But guessing what Pete likes is almost not worth your time because there's no rhyme or reason to the things that Pete likes.
I have a method to my madness.
Is that true?
Yes, there is.
Would you share any tidbits of that madness with the rest of us?
No way.
Thank you. So we remain in the dark.
Yes.
Trying to figure out exactly what you're going to think of
something. He likes wrestling.
Correct.
He likes old time. What are your favorite shows, Pete?
Old time.
Old time.
If they happen pre...
Laurel and Hardy.
If they happen pre what, 92 you're in?
80s, 90s.
Okay.
Family Matters.
Right.
What's the song in?
For Strangers.
You were close. That was
pretty
close.
The melody. I forgot the words. Yeah. Totally.
As days go by.
Right.
Yeah, as days go by. Remember we were like figuring out what the lyrics were for like 3 minutes a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I wasn't here that day. I missed that show.
No, I was in for you.
Yeah. I don't remember where I was, but I missed that
Probably
show.
Probably on some vacation.
I think you were in Dublin.
Easy. No, that was more, I feel like that was more recent than that. Dublin was April. The Family Matters singing was more recent than that. Yeah.
That might have been the Chicago trip.
No, Boston, maybe. No, I didn't take a day off for Boston, or did I? No, we didn't. Chicago was last year, Pete. So you're just grasping at straws.
Sorry. I've been on 50 trips. I don't know.
Leave me alone. They're more spread out than you think. And in fact, next week when I'm not here, it's the first time I think I'm going to have multiple days off in a row since I went to Ireland in April. I think I've had a pretty good hard hat guy around here.
Don't come at Bogus's throat.
Yeah. I mean, you're taking off 5 weeks coming up soon.
That's the reason.
So I would keep your elbows down here, buddy.
There's a reason for that.
I know. I had a baby. Great. I'm going to have one, too, and take off 8 weeks. I deserve it.
Knocking things over in the studio?
I didn't touch that. That just fell by itself. And Boyle just sniffed its underside.
Someone's playing with that thing.
I think it's time for an update.
Is it? Please. From the guy who just did that. Here's more of Boyle with headlines.
Means go.
I'm trying. Focus, you be.
Let's throw to the guy who just sniffed a stuffed animal's bottom and said someone's playing with that. Please, take it away. Save us from that.
You began the show talking about the criticism new Commanders OC Eric Bieniemy is getting from his own players to head coach Ron Rivera for being too intense and hard on him. Here is Bieniemy yesterday admitting, yeah, he's tough on his players, but he supports them just as vehemently.
Eric Bieniemy is who he is, okay? Eric Bieniemy knows how to adapt and adjust. Eric Bieniemy is a tough, hard-nosed coach, but also understand I'm going to be the biggest and harshest critic, but I'm also their number one fan because I got their back and I'm going to support them at all times.
Yeah, former Chiefs receivers Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, who played under Bieniemy, have come to his defense. Hill tweeted, "There's no other coach that has your back like EB. Take that coaching and get better. We all been through. It's tough, but I promise you it'll make you better." Hardman then quotes that tweet with, quote unquote, "I promise." Elsewhere, it's becoming part of the biggest summer running back story, and it's two prongs. So Jonathan Taylor has left Colts training camp to rehab an injured ankle off-site. Even though injured players are traditionally expected to be on the field for each workout. Now, first-year head coach Shane Steichen said Taylor was absent as part of his rehab process and said, quote, "If you don't see him out here, it's part of his rehab," end quote. Then was asked if he's rehabbing on or offside, and Steichen declined to comment. So, yeah, he ain't there. Taylor's been on the PUP list since camp began, which the Colts attributed to his offseason ankle surgery. And, of course, he requested a trade last week, which Jim Irsay shot down pretty quickly. So, as a result, free agent Kareem Hunt is scheduled for a visit to Colts camp now. Hunt visited the Saints. Seemed like a done deal, since the Saints have their own running back issues with Alvin Kamara's suspension and Eno Benjamin's injury. But He apparently had a visit scheduled with the Colts before he even stepped foot on the Saints training camp field. So stay tuned, I guess, on who Kareem Hunt picks. And Dalvin Cook, obviously still a free agent. The juice seemingly running out of that story. Perhaps Cook is trying his best to hold out for the $10 million he was seeking. And as more running backs get hurt in camp, I guess he's got a better shot for that. Anyway, baseball, biggest games of the night yesterday in Baltimore. Kyle Tucker tucked O's fans in bed and read them a nightmare story.
2-2 again. And Tucker hits it in the air pretty deep to right field. That sends back McKenna at the wall looking up. See you later! Kyle Tucker gives the Astros a lead with a grand slam. 7-6, Houston.
Astros radio, Tucker's 20th homer of the year stunned the O's fans to a news and gave Houston a critical 7-6 comeback win. Mets fans favorite Max Scherzer was stellar yet again for the Rangers. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. Texas wins their 8th straight with a 6-1 win over the A's. Freddie Freeman, 3 more hits and another RBI. Dodgers survived a 9th inning D-backs comeback to hold on for a 5-4 win. Arizona now has lost 7 straight. Angels had lost 7 straight. They finally ended the nightmare skid. Brandon Drury with a home run and 3 runs scored. Halos beat the Giants 7-5. And Logan Gilbert shoved last night in Seattle. 7 innings, 1 hit, 12 punch outs. Mariners blanked the Padres 2-0. Finally, baseball news. Big blow to Tampa Bay. Rays ace and all-star Shane McClanahan likely done for the year. Could need surgery. Manager Kevin Cash said he was pulled after 4 innings against the Yankees last week. Then Tampa revealed he had forearm discomfort and was going back to Florida. Now he might need Tommy John. And one last thing right here, college football. Stanford first-year head coach Troy Taylor said the school intends to remain at a Power 5 level. Now ACC presidents met yesterday morning to discuss the possibility of adding Stanford and Cal, but the matter was not voted on yet, according to Pete Thamel.
All right, Boyle, thanks so much. As promised, now we're talking baseball with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, it's Andrew in New York. How are you this morning?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it, Bob. Let's begin with the Orioles. I'm sure you're not surprised by their, I don't know what the right word is, their insensitivity, their bad punishment of Kevin Brown, but it surprised me that they haven't fixed it. People really freaked out Monday. Now we're Wednesday, and I guess Kevin's coming back on Friday, but should by now the Orioles have said something publicly and apologize and try to move away from this?
You would think so. So it looks like they're hoping it just goes away. People forget about it. And when you have your crowd chanting for him, it's not a good sign. I mean, the fortunate part is if this was the old Orioles, like nobody would care. And now the fact that it's one of the best feel-good stories in all of baseball, you don't want to be talking about, you know, a broadcaster being suspended. You'd rather be talking about, you know, the team on the field.
And that team on the field, first place right now in the AL East, but how good are they? Bigger picture in your mind, can they win the American League? Can they be a World Series team?
You know, they can. I mean, that's how I love the fact they, we're all in, not all in, but at least they went into trade deadline by getting Jack Flaherty. And, you know, last year they, you know, traded away guys. You know, this year they say, you know what, we got a chance. And they do. When you look around, I mean, they were toe to toe with Houston. It's Houston, Texas, and Baltimore, you know, probably, right there as far as all together. And I'm not going to discount Toronto, but I think the American League is wide open.
The Rays might have been in that mix, but now Shane McClanahan is probably done for the year with an elbow injury. Does that kind of erase all of your confidence in them, or can they still make some noise in October?
I think it still makes some noise. They still have a very good chance, of course, to win the AL East just because those guys have been there before. You know, Baltimore guys haven't. And, that's what I think, you know, gives them a slight edge before the McClanahan injury. I mean, that's the third guy, third pitcher now that's gone Tommy John surgery. You wonder. And they've only been playing a little bit better than 500 balls since that great start. That being said, I mean, those guys, you know how to win. They've been to these pennant stretches before. I don't discount them, but that's a massive blow, particularly in the playoffs.
It does feel to me, at least, Bob, that there's a lot of arm injuries for Rays pitchers. Are they doing something different? Do they need to take a look at that? Is that an actual problem, or am I kind of misremembering their history of arm troubles for pitchers?
No, you're right. I mean, people talk about that in the game. You know, why? So it's like these, you know, the Rays, you know, get them, you know, chew them up, spit them out, and we'll go to the next guy. But, yeah, something funny is going on. Of course, a lot of these guys, you know, they throw, you know, 101, 102 miles an hour, and they don't throw any other pitches. And it's like, just learn to become a pitcher. You don't have to throw as fast as you can and blow out your arm. So, but you're right. It seems like it happens to them more than any other team, particularly any other good team.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today is with us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bob, what do you know about how bad things are in that White Sox clubhouse?
You know, it's bad. I've talked to enough guys in there. It's been that way for, you know, for a while now. Guys just aren't happy there and they're losing. You know, I think they need to break that thing up, just, you know, change the mix in there. You know, I think with the Pedro Grifol walked in a tough situation, and, you know, one player said as soon as Tim La Russa left, it was almost like a substitute teacher coming in, just, you know, everybody running amok type thing. You know, they had rules, but, you know, if a guy broke a rule, it wasn't like he was being harshly disciplined or something like that. So I do think they need to change that mix up in there and kind of start over with a you know, a bunch of guys, because they come across too much as a team that doesn't care about whether they win or lose.
Does this problem start at the top? I mean, you can't change the owners, but do you need to change the guys who would change the roster to try and fix all this?
Well, I think you certainly have to change that mix in the clubhouse, you know, trade those guys away and start over that way. I mean, it's the same, you know, underachieving group, and it doesn't matter who's a manager. I think it was very unfair when there, you know, people pointing their fingers at Tony La Russa. Here he is battling serious health concerns, blaming La Russa for the problems, and then saying, okay, the new guy, Pedro Grifol, who's been passed over, you know, three times by the Royals, will you know, fix things. You know, no, that's not true. You know, it wasn't La Russa's fault. You know, some of these guys had to look themselves in the mirror, say, okay, what can I do to, you know, make myself better? Because they've underachieved now. You know, really since the 2021 season when they won the division by so many games.
Bob, the Angels finally won last night for the first time since the trade deadline, but there's still seven games out of a wild card spot. The Red Sox, the Yankees, Mariners, all between them and the Blue Jays. Are the Halos done, or with Mike Trout kind of coming back soon, is there any reason to hold on to their wild card hopes?
Well, I think they're close to being done, and just such a big obstacle. I mean, they you know, seven back with less than 50 games of play. Yeah, that's a tough ask. But I still do say they did the right thing by keeping Ohtani and adding on to it, because that's the only chance to keep Ohtani. If you didn't have any desire to keep him or say, okay, I'm not going to spend $500 million, you know, then go ahead and trade him away and don't add. But at least this gives them a chance to stay. I mean, nobody thought Mike Trout would stay either. And he did. So I think the same thing with Ohtani. I think they have a better chance to keep him than a lot of people think.
I mean, if you could put a percentage on those chances, what would it be? 20%, 30, north and, you know, closer to 50? What do you think the actual odds of him staying in Anaheim are?
Yeah, I would say maybe a 1-in-3 chance type thing, you know, over, you know, 33%, something like that. I mean, you think about it, there's not too many teams that are even going to be in the picture offering that kind of money. You know, they're going to be West. It's going to be the Dodgers will be there, the Giants, you know, the Padres always spend wildly. So I think those teams along with the Angels. So, you know, at least it's got to show them something that they didn't trade them away and they actually added a little bit at the deadline, you know, trying to help their chances.
Bob, when you look at the National League as a whole, is it the Dodgers, or maybe it's not because their pitching rotation, the injuries there. Who's the team that actually could keep the Braves from winning the pennant?
I think the Dodgers are pretty much the only team. I'm not going to discount Milwaukee because now they have Brandon Woodruff back. Corbin Burns is pitching lights out. So I don't discount them because of the pitchers. But, yeah, Dodgers, amazing. I mean, you know, this was a team that wasn't supposed to do anything. They didn't do anything in the free agent market. You know, pretty much stayed pat at the trade deadline. Everybody's giving the division to San Diego Padres. And here they are again. I mean, this was everybody's chance to finally knock off the Dodgers, and nobody did it. You know, you worry about their pitching. They have a, you know, tremendous offense. But, yeah, I think it'll come down to Dodgers-Atlanta, you know, once again with, you know, Milwaukee kind of, you know, lurking around.
And then those Padres, you just mentioned them. They're four out right now. There's a handful of teams between them and that last wild card spot. We've been waiting for them to get going. They still haven't gotten going. Should we keep waiting, or is this the San Diego team that we're going to get all year long where they just can't get over that hump and they're going to miss the playoffs?
And I don't think anything's going to change. I mean, it's gone on like this, you know, for the entire season. And we're going on 5 months and nothing has changed. You know, and everybody talked about the Mets with the payroll and underachieving. But I think if these guys miss the playoffs, I think it's the most underachieving team in baseball history. I really do. They're just loaded with talent. I think 11 All-Stars on that team. And you walk in that clubhouse in spring training, you know, it was like the Yankees and Red Sox combined as far as just all the media was in there because of all the stars. But there's no way in a weak NL race where, you know, teams like the Diamondbacks are just two games out after just, you know, sticking the place up since the All-Star break. You know, you can't get in, but they're showing no life at all.
Bob, when you read between the lines of what Steve Cohen is saying, the Mets are saying as an organization, how do you think they handle this winter and building a team for 2024?
I think they'll just do it like a little bit like the Dodgers last year in the agent market. Just be very modest. It's particularly you were talking about, okay, we're not going to win in 24. We're gearing up for 25 and 26. All they said is, you know, we hope to have a competitive team. So I think they'll stay out of the free agent market. You know, I don't think Ohtani is going to go there anyway. You know, but that includes Ohtani and some of the big name, you know, free agent starters. I just don't see them jumping in there. You know, not after what they've done. I think it would be interesting what they do with Pete Alonso. I think they'll make him available and see what they get in return. You know, if they're going to sign him with a contract extension, they certainly would have done so by now, particularly when they're signing everybody else last winter.
Yeah, and I'm also wondering, too, if Pete wants to be a Met long-term. Like, maybe that's the problem here is that they know that he wants to go somewhere else. Because we're sitting here in New York, and that is now the question surrounding the Mets is, what do they do with him? And like you just said, more and more kind of makes sense, at the very least, explore what could be out there for him in a trade.
Yeah, and I think if somebody really wanted him at the trade deadline, you know, it would have been a high asking price that they would have moved him. Obviously, you're dealing with a fan favorite, how popular he is and stuff. You know, we don't know what he's seeking to for an extension. But I did find it odd that when they were trying to lock everybody else up, bring back their free agents and, you know, add on, that there was never any talk at all about, hey, what about Pete Alonso?
Bob, last thing, we had Aaron Boone flipping out the other night at Laz Diaz, who has often gotten the ire of managers. We had the guy in the Phillies-Nats game yesterday have three calls overturned, almost back-to-back-to-back, and I know he was a vacation replacement. But does MLB think its umpires are as bad as we do on the outside? Do they think it's a problem that needs to be addressed, or are they kind of cool with the crew of guys calling games these days?
No, I think they think everything is fine. And I mean, you hate to see, you know, calls overturned like that, particularly last night by the same young umpire. But, you know, all their scores and everything else, and the umpire's never been better. The umpires still complain about that box on TV.
Right.
Saying that's not exactly right. And, you know, I think it does get, it frustrates the umpires and everything else. Like, okay, if this is the strike zone, you know, swing the bat. I think too many people are, you know, complain, like, okay, the ball's, you know, a tenth of an inch outside. You know, what's wrong with just swinging the bat and trying to get a hit instead of everybody looking for a walk? I've never seen so many people excited to get a walk in my life. driving some runs.
You should have seen me as a bad high school hitter accepting all walks thrown my way. That was better than me making an out. Bob, as always, we appreciate the info. Thanks for getting up for us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
All right, look forward to it. Thank you.
Of course, that's Bob Nightingale, USA Today, as we spin around the diamond, approaching the midpoint of August. There are, as he said, about 50 games left. That's a lot of baseball, but it's also not a lot of baseball. And if you know you're the Padres or the Angels or anybody else on the periphery just hanging on to that wild card chase, it's time to finally get it in gear before there's no games left for you to make that charge that we've been waiting for you to make here all summer long. One more time out, and then the results of Pete's most important poll question ever, hoping that you voted for him to be today's Andrew Kaplan Show MVP, plus your epic fail when we come back, the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Well, Pete wanted you to say nice things about him, and he basically got his wish. He came up with today's poll question: who is the Andrew Kaplan MVP of the show today? Myself, Pete, Boyle, and Botcher were the choices. And Pete and Boyle, the PB boys, as I'm looking at it right now, are tied with 31% of the vote apiece.
Oh, doctor.
That leaves me in bronze medal position with 26% of the votes. And then Ryan Botcher, matching his age, just 12% of the votes as show MVP today. Let the record show that I voted for Botcher since he booked both Richard Deitch and Bob Nightingale. And that's more worth than any of the three of us did combined since yesterday's show ended to get ready for today's show. Advanced Analytics will tell you, and maybe you should have voted for me if I tell you this, I scored 19 points as a sophomore in JV basketball. 19 points for the season, not in a game, but I did score just one as a freshman. So unofficially, going from 1 to 19 points is a New York City high school record in terms of percentage increase from season to season.
How about that?
That's according to me. Pete is a big fan of desk plants. Ryan gave up playing sports at the young age of 15 to become an assistant coach in high school, working on chef staff, I believe. And Boyle is allergic to penicillin.
That's right.
And speaking of Boyle, he is not allergic to Hawaiian shirts. Your epic fail is Boyle on Island Time.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I told Crystal Presti down the hall I am on Island Time.
Still. Well, is this a post-vacation thing or just a general life
decision? Just a general life decision. I'm always on Island Time from now on, Bogues. I'm not going to get angry about things.
Yeah.
Aunt Joni, she got me steamed up the other day. Maybe it's because Aunt Joni is a... I'm a cool guy now. I'm a chill guy.
So how long does that last? To 9 a.m. Eastern?
Now, is there a formula to the number of buttons you have unbuttoned on that shirt? Or is there a geographical mark on your chest?
I try to tiptoe the line of what is acceptable.
And I think you're right at that line, correct, Pete? I mean, one more button would be unacceptable. This one is barely acceptable.
He always has one thing every day.
Honestly, the thought process was, if I undo this next button, when
you're
I see our
naked
boss today, later this morning, is he going to say something about it?
Now,
he's going to call you a beta loser.
A beta? Why would I be called a beta? For sure, popping the chest, letting the chest pop, Pete.
Come off as a loser?
Mm-hmm. I think you can go one more button, and you just did.
I just did.
Great.
Party to party now. Shoes are off.
Help!
It's a pina colada Wednesday.
How about I take it down another button, baby girl?
Help!
Why don't you oil up this chest?
Help!
Wow. Nice. Watch DA.com numbers, YouTube numbers, is going to peak right now.
Nice.
Dipping.
Nice and slow.
Roxy in San Diego just passed out.
Moist Pork just passed out.
Moist Pork just threw his iPad in the river. However he's watching just got tossed out the window.
That goes Shlomo's Expo hat.
It's down over his eyes. Tell me when it's over.
Cover your eyes, Shlomo.
Put it on. Put it on.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Don't forget a brand new PGP should be in your podcast inbox, if that's a thing. In a little more than an hour from now, we'll tape it after the show. Me and Pete, me and Botcher. Tomorrow on the show, it's me, it's Pete, it's Ryan. It's a Peter Schwartz appearance. He's here on Friday as well. Thanks to our guest this morning, the one and only Richard Deitch of The Athletic, the one and only Bob Nightingale of USA Today. While Pat and Pete share the Andrew Kaplan MVP of the show today award, a quick write-in push from Moist Pork, who did so much to make today's show possible. So we thank him, as always, for his contributions. I believe Pete is still on the wheels of steel, so I thank him for that. Thanks to Botcher, thanks to Boyle, thanks to you for listening and or watching. Enjoy your Wednesday. We will see you on Thursday. The Mothership disconnects.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone.
So, it's interesting because...
star 6 to unmute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.